Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. And you're hearing Peggy Seeger. Peggy Seeger, the Folkway Years, Songs of Love and Politics. But now, you're hearing Bathrobes Pierre. That's me. I'm Bathrobes Pierre, Bathrobes Pierre Robert, and you are on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. Usually twice a week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12 or thereabouts in the morning. I run by you homeless rights, civil rights, stories about poverty rights, people who are poor, people on the streets, people who are free, people who are often the focus of scapegoating, abuse, and perennial and habitual violation of basic civil rights. Today we got some of the usual stuff and some reports from the north, from Food Not Bombs in San Francisco via Keith McHenry, an activist up there. Reports from Berkeley from Cornerstone Carol Denny, who is a tireless worker on behalf of the rights of poor people, whether they be renters, whether they be on the street, in vehicles, whether they be trying to sleep at night, wherever they happen to be. She's been fighting the good fight and has some disturbing news from the north about proposed depredations of People's Park coming up in the near future. And I'll be reading to you a report from her. Plus, we've also gotten from her a satirical newsletter, which is put out by a group of anonymous rapscallions up there, a paper called Hard Times, and you'll be hearing some satire from Hard Times. And a special complimentary tape has been sent to us from the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe, which is a troupe on Radio Free Berkeley, our sister station in Berkeley, that beams microwave broadcasting Radio Free to the folks up there. For any of you who have tape recorders, hey, the tape recorder at the station has broken down, and I need a tape of this show. So if you are near a tape recorder, run to the machine, put in a blank tape, record this whole show, which should last for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then give me a call at 423-4833. Not the number of the radio station, but my number. I work with a group called HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and I would love to get a tape of that show. I'd be happy to pay anybody who's out there taping for the cost of the tape, and even to dub their tape and send the original back to them. Again, if you are able to tape this show, please do, and send me, or call me, I should say, at 423-4833. For those of you who are not, well, say, who are numerically challenged, that's 423-HUF, my phone number. And that's additionally the phone number to call if you have any comments on this show, if you're interested in responding to any of the slanders and invective that I may be accused of putting out, if you want to get in touch with Radio Free Santa Cruz here at 89.3 FM, even though it's not an official radio station number, it's a contact point, and you can certainly call, and I will get information through to the radio, particularly if you're interested in having a show on the radio. We have lots of airspace available, I believe, although I can't you can't be promised any particular spot, but if you have something that needs to be said that isn't going out over the community airwaves, it isn't going out over the community that should be going out, and there's a lot of that that's happening, you should give a call to, again, 423-4833 or 423-HUF, and please, if you're near a tape recorder, run, don't walk to the machine, and start taping this show, and give me a call afterward, let me know that you're doing so. So, what's happening? Well, Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, one of the strongest, longest-lived, and earliest to start Food Not Bombs, and actually the one that's under the most intense harassment in the country. It's the only city, San Francisco, which is actually has a pending, current injunction, a permanent injunction against Food Not Bombs for serving free food anywhere in the city and county of San Francisco, and with which, incidentally, that group I have been arrested numerous times and indeed convicted and sentenced to 2 months in jail for the act of giving out bagels and rice at the Civic Center in downtown San Francisco in October of 1993, shortly after the Matrix program had begun, and by the way, continues. That's Mayor Juggernaut Jordan's program in San Francisco to drive the homeless from the downtown and eventually out of sight completely, if not into the Pacific, to Japan as possibly part of the new trade war. In other words, the organization Food Now Bombs in San Francisco is really on the front lines, and appropriately, they are holding a gathering in later in June, which will be a huge kind of affair, I'm told by Katzenjammer Keith McHenry, whom I spoke to this morning. The details of what's going on, you can find out by contacting Food Not Bombs here locally at 425-3345. And not only should you call in search of information, you should also call if you want to help cut vegetables, donate food, help pick up food, help serve food. Food Not Bombs is always desperately short of volunteers to do these things and is desperately short of money, but more important often than money, although money is important to keep the Food Not Bombs truck running and to keep stuff coming in, not so much food, which is generally not purchased, but stuff like spices and incidentals that make the food tastier. Give a call, 425-3345. San Francisco has a Food Not Bombs, but so does Santa Cruz. And Santa Cruz's Food Not Bombs meets Thursday nights at the La Familia Center at 7:30. And they also serve four or five times a week. They serve Saturday and Sunday at River and Josephine Streets at 1 o'clock. That's right across from Stapleton's. They serve Tuesday morning at 11 at Loudon Nelson Park. That's the big park next to Loudon Nelson Center between Maple and Laurel Streets, yeah, between Washington and Center Streets. And that's 11 o'clock on Tuesdays. And then on Wednesdays, there is, of course, their famous or infamous meal, which happens right under the noses of the merchants on the downtown Santa Cruz, formerly the Garden Mall, now the Concrete Merchant Mall in at Cathcart and Pacific. That's at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. So support Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs, but let me get back to San Francisco Food Not Bombs and what's going on up there. June 6th, Keith McHenry, Katzenjammer Keith, as I call him, will be coming down here to Santa Cruz. He will be speaking at the Loudon Nelson Center at 7:30, talking about this upcoming mega gathering that's going to be featuring people from Food Not Bombs all over the country and indeed all over the world. There are Food Not Bombs contacts as far-flung as Sarajevo and Kenya. Food Not Bombs is an idea, really, a concept, a principle, a slap in the face of power, political power, as it's currently constituted today. People saying, fuck you, fuck the police state, we are going to be serving people in need, people who are hungry. And you want to ban us with your injunctions, you want to bar us, we will continue to feed. And that's exactly what Food Not Bombs is doing here in Santa Cruz, and that's what it's been doing in San Francisco day after day, week after week, year after year since 1988, actually since late 1987 in San Francisco. But let me jump off the high horse and get back to the specifics about what's happening here. On the 6th, Keith's going to be in town giving an update. And I have more specifics on that particular upcoming event, if I can find it in my notes. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a video presentation June 6th, 7:30 p.m. at the Goddess House. That's at 1101 Bay Street, which will also be the kickoff for organizing caravans to the larger gathering in San Francisco, which should last a week or two later in June. So that's June 6th, 7:30, 1101 Bay Street. And if you can't make that, or in addition to that, if you're interested, he will be on Channel 71. That's the public access channel in Santa Cruz, the television station, between 6 and 7 on June 6th. So mark that date on your calendar. You'll probably see posters about it. If you have any questions, feel free to call Food Not Bombs at 425-3345. And again, if you have any questions about this show, any responses, any reactions, whether positive or negative, please call me, Bathrobes Pierre Robert, at 423-4833. Continuing with Katzenjammer Keith's report from San Francisco, San Francisco has been, of course, experiencing the usual police harassment. Several weeks ago, it was sprinkling and hosing down the people who were at the food stand. A couple weeks before that, it was arrests, actual arrests, and confiscations of food, which is quite the standard for San Francisco, even though it seems incredible and outrageous and unbelievable to people who are passing through. Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, in case you're up there, serves daily, twice daily, at UN Plaza, and it's kind of interesting because we are in the midst of the 50th anniversary of the United Nations, the UN, and the UN, of course, was formed in San Francisco, and that is hosting that celebration. A couple of the presidents spoke there, the ex-presidents, and they're continuing to do celebrations, but every day Food Not Bombs is there to cut through the hoopla and show the reality of poverty in San Francisco by feeding people under the very noses of these panjan drums and high mucky mucks that are doing their self-congratulatory pats on the back. So if you ever get up to San Francisco, noon in UN Plaza every day is when Food Not Bombs serves, except for Saturday and Sunday, and every day, including Saturday and Sundays, at 6 at UN Plaza, just a block or two from where they were serving at the Civic Center, where they moved, both in an attempt to compromise with the city in hopes they'd stop the harassment and in an attempt to recognize that the main buildings, the city hall, was being closed down, and so the real focus of public commerce and the visibility of Food Not Bombs would be better served by being at UN Plaza, plus the fact that the UN's 50th anniversary was going to be there. Numerous Food Not Bombs cases are in the courts in San Francisco, and the charges, which often begin as felony conspiracy, that's three strikes, felony, you're out type conspiracy charges, to serve free food. You got it. If you walk in with a bunch of bagels in a bag, that can be the basis for a 7-year prison term, and now, of course, no one's ever been tried for that, but they put you in jail, they jack up the bail to several thousand dollars, and again, the attempt is to harass and inconvenience and discourage you from asserting your right to feed people food. And I've got to say at this point that there have been no verified health complaints against Food Not Bombs, either in San Francisco, in Santa Cruz, or in any other city of the over 100 Food Not Bombs that are now in existence throughout the country and the world. One can't say that's never happened, but if you look at the fact of the kind of food poisoning that occurs in restaurants, Food Not Bombs serves vegetarian food, which is far less likely to provide problems. And it does so very, very cheaply. And it does so by organizing and recruiting and from the bottom up, getting together with the people who are using the food, who are eating the food. So it's not some kind of charity service. It's people who need meeting their own needs through recognizing the incredible waste that happens every day in major urban areas in terms of food that's being thrown away. And then it's people who volunteer their kitchens to be used to cook that food. And that's what Food Not Bombs does in Santa Cruz and San Francisco, and I presume across the country in Food Not Bombs is in many, many different places. Well, up in San Francisco, there are numerous Food Not Bombs cases, as I said, that are in the courts. Most of them are what's called misdemeanors, which are punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine, and they are charged with violating the bogus injunction, that is an injunction secured by the San Francisco authorities way back in 1989 under the pseudo-liberal mayor Art Agnos, who became embarrassed that Food Not Bombs was serving food in the Civic Center Plaza Park and helping out a homeless encampment, which was politically destroying his claim to have helped the homeless. There were hundreds and hundreds of homeless people who were, in essence, camped out in public in these miserable hovels, and makeshift shelters saying, look, you say you've helped the homeless, you know, right. And the reality is that there is a huge overflow of people in San Francisco who have no access to any shelter beds, but who, even more importantly, are criminalized for using public spaces simply to assert their right to be there, not even in terms of free speech. They have to live, and when they're in public, and the businesses would prefer that they evaporate or swim to pago-pago, then they decline to do so. They become the subject of all kinds of police harassment under the Matrix program in San Francisco, and Food Not Bombs attempts to feed these people, and as a consequence, this injunction was taken out by Mayor Agnos, and this is the injunction under which I was convicted after a five-day jury trial in 1994 in February, in which essentially the way our court system operates, they cut down all the moral questions into tiny technical legal questions and attempt to strip juries and the public of any sense of responsibility or conscience in this, indicating it's merely a question of did these people cross this line and did they violate this particular subsection of this code. And the whole question as to whether the code is being used politically, has ever been used to penalize people who are having picnics in the park unless the mayor wants to eliminate a particular political opponent or a particular political group, doesn't come up. So there are about 30 or so pending cases in the courts which were put on hold by a municipal judge, Manuel Garcia, or at least Judge Garcia is his last name, because the Food Not Bombs presented a formidable series of videos showing intense police harassment and brutality around Food Not Bombs, both in terms of destroying literature, assaulting individuals, seizing food and destroying it gratuitously, huge numbers of police called to deal with small numbers of servers and eaters, simply to intimidate them, and so the reality that only one person has ever been tried, much less convicted. I mean, I was convicted, but only one person, myself, has ever been tried under the more than 900 arrests in San Francisco at the Food Not Bombs tables. And what that means is they love to arrest people, seize property, seize tables, seize literature, seize cooking pots, seize serving implements, seize vehicles, and not give them back, and then drop the cases. You might wonder, how can this happen in a free society? Well, it tells you something about the nature of the San Francisco Police Department and the court system and the so-called free society. But, of course, what Food Not Bombs is showing is that it's not free if you try to give away free food. It's free if people continue to pay and the system continues to churn and move forward in its juggernaut fashion, but try to involve humane elements of this kind, try to directly challenge the priorities of the state, challenge their bombs and say, no, we want food, not bombs, and we're going to give the people food, not bombs, then the state reacts. And the state must maintain control at all costs, and that is, of course, what happens with Food Not Bombs. But most recently, these 30 cases in San Francisco are being offered a settlement at June 30th. They're being offered a settlement of no penalty in their cases if they plead guilty to blocking the sidewalk. Now, many of you may not know San Francisco's Civic Center. It's a huge park. It's about the size of a large or two large city blocks. I mean, it is big. And Food Not Bombs serves near the fountain. It would be literally impossible for Food Not Bombs to block that park, even if it tried. But it has been possible for the police to set up lines of officers. Oh, gosh. They've had 60 or 70 officers at different times. And they, indeed, do block the park. They blocked City Hall when I was there. You couldn't get into City Hall if you were a Food Not Bombs person or they suspected you of being so. They actually blocked public access to buildings in an attempt to intimidate and drive away people from Food Not Bombs and those who supported them. So it's a ridiculous idea for them to have to plead guilty to a charge. And you may be aware that Keith McHenry did plead guilty to several felonies, which were going to be reduced to misdemeanors in a year by agreement simply because he was afraid of perjured testimony, and he wanted to free himself up to continue the important organizing work which he's been doing. He did a nationwide tour in which he visited each of the Food Not Bombs around the country, or many of them, with his dog Pluto in his van, traveling around with the Food Not Bombs videos and showing them everywhere, which he will be doing, as I said, for those of you who missed that announcement, on June 6th at 7 p.m. at the Goddess House at 1101 Bay Street here in Santa Cruz, in case you want to see his videos and talk to Keith, and organize to go up north later in June for the gathering, which will have many, many people. Hundreds of people are planning to be there. It's planning to go on for several weeks, and there are going to be tent cities and different protests and events concerning the UN Declaration of Human Rights and the violations of human rights, for example, that Food Not Bombs and other organizations that are trying to contest the new police state mentality that is gripping most of the nation. That's happening anyway. The gathering is going to be happening later in June, and Keith will be showing up here on June 6th. And what else did he tell me here? I've got my notes here. Oh, yeah. Here we go. For you internet folks, I've got some internet addresses for you to contact and get information on Food Not Bombs. So get your pencils and paper out. If you're on the internet, if you want to get more sites where you can pick up Food Not Bombs info and archives, if you have access to the internet, which is a very important resource. I recently put out the entire Street Shit Sheet, my local Santa Cruz publication, over the internet. The last Street Shit Sheet was in early May. I'm hoping to have another one at some point, but I'm in the throes of moving and seeking a vehicle, so that's going to be a little hard. But again, okay, you got your pencils here for the internet sites for Food Not Bombs. One of them is FNB-I-request, R-E-Q-U-E-S-T, @ webcom, one word, webcom.com. All this in small letters. I'll repeat that. FNB-I-request@webcom.com. Next site. http://webcom.com/little squiggly line peace. That's http://webcom.com/little wiggly line. I don't know how to say that. I guess it's got a technical term. I wish I knew what it was, but it's a little kind of like the little line you see over the Spanish N that makes it an enye. Peace. http://webcom.com/little squiggly line peace. And then finally, of course, there's the one I use, which is alt.org.food-not-bombs. And wait, there's an additional bonus. This is for Free Radio Berkeley, in case all you radio nuts want to get on the internet and start chattering back and forth. The Radio Free Berkeley internet access stuff, or the site, forgive me for my illiteracy on the net, is frbspd@crl.com. That's for Radio Free Berkeley, frbspd@crl.com. So there's some sites for you. And if you want to contact Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, they do have an 800 number, and it is 800-884-1136. That's 800-884-1136. So that's what's cooking up north. They continue to harass homeless people at the Civic Center. There was a raid 2 days ago. I did read good news in the paper about the San Francisco local law prohibiting people from sitting within, I think, 30 feet of an ATM being essentially defanged by I think it was a municipal court judge. A man was arrested because he was sitting near an ATM. He may have been panhandling. He wasn't doing anything criminal, and he was simply being there. You're only allowed to be there if you are in a movie theater line, waiting for the ATM or waiting for a bus, something like that. And he declined to say he was doing any of that stuff. And the judge said, no, you can't do that. I mean, that means you couldn't give away pamphlets in that area, and that would be unconstitutional. I mean, you have the right to give away literature on the street. You have the right to engage in all kinds of non-criminal behavior. And he said that if they were going to find this guy guilty, they would have to show that he had a criminal intent. So they haven't quite thrown out the charges against this man, but they are they have essentially stripped the police from enforcing the law simply because a person is sitting down on the sidewalk near an ATM. Now, a lot of people feel nervous about, you know, when they go up to an ATM, and there's a sort of a superficial rationale. Well, you know, why can't people want to sit down? Why don't they sit 31 feet away or maybe down the street? Well, if the banks want to do their business on the streets, let them provide security guards. The sidewalks and the streets are public arenas. And as such, all of us have access to them and should continue to have access to them, even if we don't have an ATM card, even if we don't have any money at all. This attempt to constrict the public spaces, which has been going on here in Santa Cruz for years, parks have been closed at curfew in order to rid the parks and the city of those evil homeless vagrants who are sometimes found there, who sleep there. People who can't afford to go to clubs, people who don't have homes, try to use the parks and the public spaces. And of course, the April downtown ordinances of last year here in Santa Cruz, sponsored by Neil Coonerty, Scott Kennedy, Jane Yokoyama, Cynthia Matthews, Mike Rotkin, you know, the whole gang of rogues at the city council. Their attempt was to make it illegal to sit down on the sidewalk in Santa Cruz, which incidentally it still is if you are 10 feet from a store. And, I think I got an incoming call here. Hang on a second.
Hello.
We have an emergency call here. I'm going to put you on music for a moment. I'll get back to you. Hang on there and we will return.
You watch us unbelieving, we older, wiser ones. What do you see, my son? You ask a question, you wait for my reply, but the world's a change sometimes, you know, as much as I. In the new world that is coming, the old must ask the young. Then where will you turn, my son?
And once more, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM, here in, yes, you guessed it, the city of Santa Cruz. If you have any questions, you can certainly give a call to me at 423-4833. I wish we had a patch-in line so we could actually take your stuff on the air, but we can't at the current time. The phone call I just got was on a private line that somebody else is paying for and using. We can't use it here at the radio. We're a very makeshift operation. Food Not Bombs is continually in crisis here, and also I encourage you to volunteer to help. I think we're having another vehicle breakdown here today, and that's 425-3345 if you want to call Food Not Bombs and help. I just got a call from Candlelight Kim Argula, one of the ongoing fearless Food Not Bombers, and it's more vehicle difficulties. So your help is always appreciated, and my apologies for interruptions to the show, which are likely to come up. Well, giving you some reports from out of town here, giving you some reports on what's happening up in the Bay Area. There's a tent city protest planned at the Food Not Bombs gathering in San Francisco on June 18th. That'll be initiated by Food Not Bombs at the UN Plaza at 6 p.m. That's June 18th. So, what else is happening? Well, let's switch over to Berkeley. Let's talk about Berkeley for a bit. Berkeley is one of the few cities with rent control, and you may have read in the papers recently that rent control is now seriously imperiled because for the first time, a bill to essentially completely gut rent control in the five cities, and I think dozen odd communities that have it throughout the state, including Berkeley, Santa Monica. I think Cotati has it, a couple of other places. The landlords, ever voracious, have passed this vacancy decontrol law, where they, if you leave a rental, then they can raise the rents. These cities that I mentioned, or that actually I didn't mention, these few communities that have rent control, have stated that even if people leave the rented unit, the landlord still has to continue charging a fair rent, and there still is rent control, which has made Berkeley affordable for people and kept a really diverse community of older people, poorer people, people of different skin colors, and not just rich yuppies and sons and daughters of the well-to-do who are students at the University of California, who would, you know, take up all the spaces if rent control weren't in effect. That's sort of an aside. Rent control is in peril. If you're interested in this issue, you should get in touch with me at 423-4833. There is the bill has not passed the assembly, but it is likely to. It will gut rent control statewide. There is no rent control statewide, but in those communities where there is rent control, it will suddenly open up and remove all protections in those communities. Again, here's your another example of the police state in operation, the state acting on behalf of the landlord, where local communities have banded together to give protection to tenants, local decisions, which supposedly Republicans would seem to be in favor of if they were really consistent in their principles of local control. Now they want to give the state of California, the state government, the power to override those local ordinances. And, of course, that's always the way it is. It's true nationally in terms of liability law. They want to gut the possibility of getting attorneys to support poor people in legal suits against large corporations. And the way they do that is by limiting judgments. And so then attorneys, it isn't worth their while to take these suits, and so poor people just get to, you know, lie down and take it, whatever the abuses of the large corporations. There's been this McDonald's hot coffee case that's been so widely ballyhooed. Oh, you know, here's a woman who sued for millions of dollars and got it in the McDonald's coffee case. Well, what you don't hear about in the papers, what I read recently in a column, and I have got to admit I haven't checked the accuracy, but I have heard it from a couple of other sources. I read it in a couple of other places. Was that the McDonald's Corporation was initially offered the opportunity to simply settle this woman for paying her medical bills. And she got third-degree burns, this woman, on her body. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't pay the $20,000 for the medical bills. So when she went to the jury was outraged in learning that over 70 other cases, McDonald's had similar lawsuits for the scalding people with their coffee. Admittedly, you know, I mean, in a drive-thru where people will lose control of the coffee, but they don't post a warning, scalding hot coffee, you know, drink at your own risk. It's nonetheless, you know, that wouldn't go too well with their advertising campaign and their plan to rip off all the rainforests across the world. But, so, let's get back to Berkeley. Rent control may be gutted there because of state law. But, what's happening on other levels in Berkeley? Well,